Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's programme for December 2nd. I'm Jessica Dacian-Byrne. The competitive ski season is well underway, and in this programme we'll be looking at some of the talking points so far. We asked the head of one of the World Cup races in Switzerland if the lack of snow is causing problems.
Well, at the moment we do not have enough snow for the race courses.
And we look at an escalating row over new rules fixed by the Swiss-based International Ski Federation.
We've been fighting against it and they don't want to listen to us. And I think, well, what's starting to happen is athletes are really starting to reach their tipping point on this.
And we speak to ski pals and sometimes rivals, Simon Amann and Andreas Kutl, who are the subject of a new book.
Rivals, I think when we had Swiss championships, then it was very clear that we jump against each other. But normally it was somehow our idea that we jump against the world.
Also eine Art Materialpoker ist das natürlich auch immer in Lake Louise.
Güsch gegen Theo, was für ein Vorsprung, 48 Hundertstel Sekunden. Eine sensationelle Leistung des Schweizer Cracks.
World Cup ski races have been happening since October in different spots around the globe. Some of the locations are knee-deep in snow. But here in Switzerland, December 1st came and went without even a dusting at most Swiss resorts. The exceptionally warm weather means most slopes are still green. Temperatures are too high to even make artificial snow in most places. Over the border in France, two World Cup races due to take place in mid-December in Val d'Isère had to be cancelled. Switzerland has two races on the World Cup calendar in the first half of January, at Adelboden and Lauberhorn in the Bernese Oberland. The Lauberhorn has the longest run of all the World Cup races. So how do they plan to prepare their piece in time, and will they have enough water for the snow cannons, considering the recent low rainfall? I spoke to race director Markus Lehmann and began by asking him if he was worried.
Well, at the moment we do not have enough snow for the race courses, but we produced technical snow around 1 week ago, but the result was not very good. Right now we are not worried about the lack of snow because there is still enough time to be ready. Nearly all preparations are done except obviously the snow preparation of the race courses. All fixed safety equipment, we call this stuff A-net, are installed. The grandstands in the finish area are already built up. The snowmaking team is ready to produce snow and so we wait for colder temperatures.
Lauberhorn's race courses will be made artificially, which requires cold temperatures and lots of water. The organisers need to produce 120,000 cubic metres of snow, the water of which will come from a special reservoir nearby, and which is currently full, Lehmann said. They will have until the end of December to get the race courses in order.
So the absolute latest time to a decision is the 1st of January, which is the official FIS snow control day, and there we will decide if there is enough snow to do the races or not.
Okay.
So this is the deadline for the amount of snow, 1st January 2012.
Lauberhorn race director Markus Lehmann speaking to me earlier. Events are due to start there on January 13th and in Adelboden on January 7th. From problems with the piste to problematic new rules with skis. This week there's been a war of words between skiers in one of the World Cup's biggest races and the Swiss-based International Ski Federation, the FIS. It's a result of new rules being introduced for the giant slalom from the 2012 to 2013 season, in a bid by the FIS to reduce the injury rate over the past 5 years. The new men's skis will be straighter and longer. They will have a turning radius of over 35 metres, more like the straight skis of the 1980s, and a minimum length of 195 centimetres. But giant slalom racers aren't happy. 41 of the top 50 men in the race have signed a petition against the new regulations and are calling for the FIS not to be involved in equipment regulation. Two racers, Hannes Reichelt and Benjamin Reich, have backed the changes, however. The winner of last year's giant slalom has been one of the most vocal opponents to the rules, saying they are taking the sport back 20 years and will effectively kill it. American racer Ted Ligety has put out a 2,000-word statement on the tyranny of the FIS on his website, Facebook, and Twitter accounts. He says the FIS is imposing the rules without getting the feedback of current racing athletes. Ligeti says the new skis will also discourage R&D into new technologies, and the sport will be less entertaining to watch. Well, former Swiss medalist Bernard Russi is in charge of competition equipment for alpine skiing in the FIS. He said he understood why skiers might be upset, but they now just need to follow the rules.
Oui, tout à fait, parce que on se sent bien.
Absolutely, because the skis feel good, especially to someone like Ligeti, who's the best in the world in the giant slalom. If those skis are changed, it's normal for him to be upset. But in the end, we can't ask for everyone's advice, and not everyone shares Ligeti's opinion. If we listen to what Ligeti says, we should also listen to Benjamin Reich, who has a completely different perspective. He maybe has more experience and a view that's a little more open than someone like Ligeti, who's very focused on his own interests.
Ligeti was happy to tell Swiss Radio his side of the story.
I think it's really sad when somebody who's like Bernard Russi, he's a legend in the sport, is completely out of touch with racing. He has no idea what's going on in new skis. He raced in, what, the 60s, 70s, I forget when, but a long time ago. And he's stuck in his office, and he's concerned about his job with FIS. And by him holding the hard line, he keeps his job and ensures job security when we're the ones who are actually in danger of the new rules, because they will make it more dangerous. And the guys who are testing it are like 12 or something Europa Cup level racers and guys who've been retired for 5 or 6 years. I mean, it's completely senseless how they're actually going about the decision. And all the athletes are against it. I mean, when you have something like that, it's obvious. And they haven't looked at the body mechanics of it. They haven't looked at any of the other science than just a couple little things and looking at the times are slower in testing.
Another vocal opponent, John Olsen, has attracted attention for his blog, FIS Sucks. The FIS is now bringing a code of conduct for skiers to stop blasphemy on social networking sites or whatever will bring the sport into disrepute. Ligeti called it censorship.
We've been fighting against it, and they don't want to listen to us. And I think, well, what's starting to happen is athletes are really starting to reach their tipping point on this and don't really want to take it anymore, especially since Bernard Russi is trying to censor us now, too, with a code of conduct, which is completely absurd. And, I mean, it's already starting to go on as we're starting to try to unionize ourselves and get a place where we can actually assert some power, since we're the actually people who are driving the sport, not some guy in an office in Switzerland.
The FIS would not comment to Swiss Info about the row.
The Olympic champion and gold medalist representing Switzerland, Simone Amann.
My best jump, I also. It's incredible, a gold medal, yeah!
Well, Len, I don't know exactly what he said, but I loved every word of it.
The 2010 Vancouver Olympics projected ski jumper Simone Amann into the record books as the only Swiss to ever win 4 Olympic gold medals. He decided to sit out this season's World Cup opening competition in Finland, opting instead to start his campaign in Lillehammer in early December. For the first time, he'll be without his longtime teammate and good friend, Andreas Kutl, a world championship gold medalist who is now retired from the sport. A book has just been published about the pair, Simone Amann, Andreas Kutl, The Unequal Twins. It tells the story of Kutl, the model athlete, and Amann, the media darling and 4-time Olympic gold medalist. Isabel Liebel Johnson had a read of the book and went to its launch in Zurich, where she met both the skiers. I spoke to Isabel earlier. Isabel, this sounds like a complicated friendship with both these men competing in the same sport, while the young rising star, Amann, gets all the glory.
Yes, indeed. The book makes clear that they are, on the one hand, really quite similar, nearly the same age, doing the same sport. On the other hand, they are very different. Andreas is more the thinker, so thinks first and then acts. And Simon is rather the opposite, more led by his emotions. Now, I spoke to both athletes at the book launch, and what really came out is that they've always stuck by each other through all their highs and lows, through thick and thin. And, for example, both had a really big dip after the Salt Lake Olympics. And here's what Andreas had to say on being both friends and rivals.
That is over now, only friends now. Rivals, I think when we had Swiss championships, then it was very clear that we would jump against each other, but normally it was somehow our idea that we jump against the world or against the other nations. And the most fun was when actually both were able to win and we were both on the top. Then we had the best time with each other as well.
And this actually happened at the 2006 World Cup in Lillehammer with Simon first and Andreas second.
And after this dip, how long was it until they had some success again?
Well, both didn't get medals in the 2006 Olympics, but by 2009 things were looking up again, with Andreas gaining a World Cup gold in 2009. And in 2010, of course, things really took off quite literally for Simon at the Vancouver Olympics when he won two more golds. Now, this made him the only Swiss ever to gain four Olympic golds and the only ski jumper to win four golds in individual events. So quite an achievement.
So this book came out in October, just ahead of the 2012 competitive season. When you spoke to Simon about the season, how did he sound?
Well, he said that although he's had to build up some muscle, which is heavier, so makes the body slower and can affect takeoff speed, his training had been coming together, he said. I asked him what his highlights were, and here's what he had to say.
My highlights are the home hills in Engelberg. I really love to jump there. It was difficult to find out how it works to succeed. And then the four hill tournaments. It's not that big goal like the ski flying world championships coming in February on the world largest ski flying hill in Norway. I hope to fly over 240 meters. My record is 238.5 meters. It's quite a distance, and that's going to be our royal competition that weekend in Norway.
And Andreas has retired at the age of 32. What's he doing now, and does he miss competing?
He now lives in Denmark with his wife, who's a doctor, and his small son. He's working part-time as a sports teacher, he's learning Danish, and he seemed to be pretty happy with his new life and said that he wasn't really missing ski jumping. However, he did say that when he came back for the book launch, he did say that he hadn't given it up totally, and that he actually, on the sidelines while he was in Switzerland, he went over to Einsiedeln in central Switzerland, which is his hometown, and he had a go on the ski jump hill, which is named after him in his hometown. So I think he's still a bit doing it as a hobby, but no plans to be a professional. And he then also explained to me that the sport had been a really central part of his life for such a long time.
Yeah, I think it made me who I am, because since I'm seven, I'm jumping, and that was since 12, a lot of time away from home, traveling, preparing, training every day. And so my body became, as a ski jumper, my mind was built by this competition circumstances. And so it was my life, ski jumping, for a long time, and now it's maybe my hobby.
And so what next for this friendship?
Well, I guess Andreas will be watching his friend's progress in the 2012 season. There are high hopes for Simon, and he has indicated that although, like Swiss tennis star Roger Federer, he is now 30, he has no plans to retire yet. And they'll certainly be keeping in touch, as Simon is godfather to Andreas's small son.
That was Isabel Leibold Johnson. You can read her full story on this special ski jumping partnership at swissinfo.ch. The books Simon Amann and Andreas Kutl, Die ungleichen Zwillinge, The Unequal Twins, is published by Edition Gurwolf. That's all we have time for this week. For more on any of the stories you've heard in this program, and to follow the ups and the downs of the Swiss ski team this season, go to swissinfo.ch. Thanks for listening. I'm Jessica Dacey.